Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
WWE and NXT really just shoot on AEW. I am Luke Owen, this is El Fakador Laurie Blake, and welcome to the post NXT TakeOver 25 edition of Wrestle Ramble, where I apologize for my slight stumbling at the start there. I am tired. It was a long weekend. It's a long weekend, and we have literally, about, I'd say 5 minutes ago, finished watching NXT TakeOver 25.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to watch it live because we weren't around.
Nope.
Didn't get to watch it yesterday because we still weren't around, and I was very, very tired from the incredible weekend that we had. And so today, we finally got to watch the show. Yep. So, broad strokes, before we get into the main topic, what do you think?
I thought it was amazing.
Great
show.
It was
really, really fun. Like, there was a lot of standout matches.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It was like another one of those ones where I wasn't so keen. There was a couple I wasn't so keen on, but I thought most people came out and tore the house down.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the opening match, the tag match, the ladder match, and the main event really were like exceptionally good matches. Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to talk about the big talking points coming out of the show, which is WWE possibly taking some shots at All Elite Wrestling throughout the show, some straight shooting from the hip. Now, I'm not categorically saying that they did shoot on AEW.
No.
Absolutely not. We are going to discuss what a lot of people are talking about for coming out of this. And it really stems from Nigel McGuinness saying, I think at the top of the show, he said, the black and yellow brand is the true alternative in sports entertainment. Now, this is because, well, could be because All Elite Wrestling have been pushing themselves as we're not competing with WWE. We're an alternative to WWE.
Oh, yeah.
So for NXT to then say, no, we're the true alternative to WWE. It's their own bloody product. It's like, it's the same product.
Yeah, I know.
It's like saying Diet Coke. We're the true alternative to Coke.
It's like not wanting to listen to Nickelback, but listening to Chad Kroeger separately.
It's the true alternative to Nickelback. So, I mean, what did you make of the opening comments?
I thought that was a jab. It was definitely a jibe, and I think they would have been told to say that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially considering that, like, last weekend, because this was separated by not being right where Money in the Bank was, so there was, like, there was this week's gap, and then AEW had Double or Nothing, and now this, you have to fire back, because everyone was saying that post-Money in the Bank, Double or Nothing was, like, the answer to that. That was, like, Money in the Bank was WWE's show before Double or Nothing. The big, like, this is what we have planned for the future of this. This is why you should watch WWE. And then Double or Nothing happens and everyone's like, that was really, really good.
Very, very good.
Yeah, Money in the Bank was a load of disappointing rubbish. And then, yeah, this feels like the actual retort. And also the retort from what you feel like the future of the brand is going to be, not just in terms of the athletes, but also in terms of the people doing the writing and all the backstage stuff.
Yeah, I would. I think a lot of people going into this show thought, well, this is going to be WWE's real answer to Double or Nothing.
Well, these are the people who are actually going to have the competitive spirit about it that goes beyond ratings and money.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, I want the product to be on par or better than that.
And I think it was
the Double or Nothing equivalent show, TakeOver 25, from the beautiful city of Jeddah.
Absolutely. I think it was going to be almost like a given that
there was going to be something on the show that yes. was almost AEW related, particularly after Cody smashed the throne.
Yeah.
And I'm not defending AEW in that, because I think a lot of people are just going to assume that we're on AEW side with this. I still think that was the dumbest moment of the whole show. I really could have done without that throne smash.
So I thought the throne smash was a bit dumb. I thought finishing on, I think your lasting image being Jon Moxley and Jericho going over, like, in your first show, I think it just all felt a bit too, like, the WWE tropes are a bit strong here
for
me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not sort of certainly picking sides in this. Some people might assume we are. But then there were some other moments that people are maybe thinking were jibes at AEW throughout the show. So in three different matches, we had all three of Jericho's moves done.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Walls of Jericho being done by Roderick Strong. We had Velveteen Dream do the Lion Salt. Mm-hmm. And I can't quite remember where this is, but someone pointed out to me on Twitter that I think it was in the Baszler Shirai match. They did the Judas Effect back elbow.
I feel like you could accidentally do that.
But that's what I mean.
It's rubbish.
And it is crap. But I think that last one might be a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But I certainly don't think you cannot ignore the fact that they did the Walls of Jericho and the Lion Salt. Mm-hmm. And then if you have that Judas Effect thing there, that might make one believe being like, oh, wow, that definitely, these do feel like potted digs at Chris Jericho and AEW.
Well, Mauro Ranallo was calling a few moves the V-trigger as well, like, you know, which they don't normally call it the V-trigger. Like, they did bring that up.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that Roderick Strong has done that submission before. I was trying to remember, they called it something else. I did write that because I originally wrote down the Walls of Jericho and then changed it. I think it's the Stronghold.
Yes.
Thank you, Pete. Sorry, I should say, we got Pete in the room. Hey, Pete.
Buttons. Sorry, which one is it again?
Pete can't work things out.
Pete won't come with that. That's the D button.
I've even clicked on it now. There we go. Hey. Howdy, how's
D
it going?
D for dummy.
D for desperately trying to figure out what's going on.
Thanks, Pete.
No worries.
So yeah, so it's called the Stronghold. So again, you could argue, probably not a potted shot at Jericho either.
No, but they don't, like, Strong doesn't bust out the Stronghold very often. If at all.
Yes. So it was, as I say, like, you can have that coupled with the Lion Salt, coupled with the possible Judas Effect as well, might make one think they are taking the potted shot. The other two notes that I've had that people have said that this is where WWE were taking potted shots at AEW, before we get into perhaps the big one, is Stephanie McMahon was in the crowd.
Yep.
Being openly talked about her role of chief branding officer, which is what Brandi Rhodes' job is within AEW.
Chief Brandy Officer.
Chief Brandy Officer.
Yeah.
And so some people were like, that's another shot. That's another shot at AEW. Mm. They're kind of making fun of the fact that, and I had some tweets about this over the weekend while we were away. For my money, Stephanie, from my recollection, she's always been introduced as the Chief Branding Officer, because that's her title role in the company, in the same way that Triple H is always introduced as the COO.
Yes.
She's always been the Chief Branding Officer. She has been for like the last couple of years, and I think they've made a lot of mention of that on TV, to the point where the Chief Brandy Officer is a dig at Stephanie.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
it's a dig at Stephanie's role and her title, right?
Yeah, surely, yeah. I feel like that the whole sort of title, like the all being executive vice presidents kind of thing, is almost like a play on itself at this point in AEW. Like, yeah. I think there's a lot of, they made their names basically saying, we're not that.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're going to carry on doing that. WWE, I don't feel like WWE should be doing that. And like, I get you want to address it early doors, but I think probably that stopped at that line from Nigel.
Yes.
I think the rest of it happens to be maybe the wrestlers took a little bit of initiative. Like, Strong does the Stronghold. That's his move. Dream doing the Lion Salt. He is also the sort of self, like, outside referential, brings a lot of culture and, like, pop culture or wrestling culture into what he does.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the breaking kayfabe and having Call Me Up Vince on your tights. It's like, he's happy to step outside of the bubble of WWE and bring something in that people, that will pop people.
Mm-hmm.
That was that.
Yeah. And also as well, like, Nigel's, I mean, obviously they can't use the word wrestling in the show, but when you say it's the true alternative to sports entertainment, what you're basically saying, it's the true alternative to Raw and SmackDown.
Yes, the only the only sports entertainment shows on the planet.
Yes, exactly. Because this is a wrestling show for wrestling fans with wrestlers who like doing wrestling, not just this is sports entertainment.
Yes, absolutely.
The last bit that's worth noting is the announcement partway through the show that NXT UK are getting another takeover show. We're getting NXT UK Takeover Cardiff, which is going to take place on August 31st, which is the same day as All Elite Wrestling's All Out, which they announced last week.
Suspicious. And they were just ringing around venues being like,
what's a Cardiff?
We're going to do a takeover. Quick, find a venue of the right size.
Can we do Wembley? Can we do Manchester? Oh, Cardiff then. I guess Cardiff. I don't even know where it is. Mark, what's a Cardiff? You're from there.
Tegan Knox, you're getting on a plane.
Bless her heart. So yeah, they've announced NXT TakeOver Cardiff for August 31st, which is, for an American audience, will be at, actually for a UK audience as well, it'll be sort of 3 p.m. in the US, and it'll probably be about like 8 p.m. here, which means for a UK audience, then you'll get All Out at about midnight. US audience, you'll get All Out at about 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. So in WWE's mind, and Triple H, I've got a quote from Triple H, I'll read out in a second. There isn't really sort of a direct competition thing there because you can watch both. It's quite easy for you to go to the Cardiff show, go home, and still watch All Out. But so there are two facets to this. One is that the All Elite Wrestling bubble and group of fans, like WrestleMania, is a lot of UK fans.
Yes.
They are the traveling fans, the ones that you get at WrestleMania, the ones you get at Raw and SmackDown, the very vocal, boisterous crowds at the Raw and SmackDown after Manias.
Yeah.
They kind of have given it that sort of legendary status. Mm-hmm. So are WWE trying to say to this traveling audience, look, you can either fly all the way out to Chicago for All Out because tickets aren't on sale for it yet, or just drive down the M4 and you can get get to Cardiff.
Well, so I think it's a two-pronged attack, if you will. One is that it's trying to get a lot of trying to capture people who would buy tickets usually to All Out, but are just going to go to Cardiff instead because it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. Two, I think if you know that both can be watched, you can fatigue people before All Out even airs. How long WrestleMania? Like WrestleMania this year, ostensibly very good show, just too long. And so even though I really enjoyed it, by the end of it, I couldn't have cared because it was just so much wrestling to have watched. This could be the same thing. If you do a 3-hour NXT TakeOver Cardiff and then go, okay, well, fair enough, you can go home and watch
another five hours of wrestling.
Yeah, you've got to sit through probably like the first hour of Battle Royals and matches that don't really matter before you get to any of the stuff that you're going to pop really. Yeah. So, that you know, there could be just a taking a bit of the steam out of All Out by just having wrestling on that people want to watch. Like, I'm assuming Walter and Pete Dunne are going to be, you know, there's going to be lots of stuff going on.
It'll probably be Walter Devlin, I'd have thought.
You think?
I think they might have moved on from the Walter Pete Dunne stuff by that point because they're still doing like Strong Style Imperium stuff.
Yes, they are.
But I'd imagine they're going to push more towards the Devlin storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
And do Walter Devlin, which, you know, was one of the best matches that's happened recently anyway, over an OTT.
Yeah.
So I think they're very much trying to sort of capture that British crowd that can be behind Devlin to try and take the title off of Walter. And it's a lot of the UK guys that British wrestling fans like because it's all the guys from Progress and you know, ICW and things like that and OTT. So you are going to be trying to capture them and be like, so you could fly out to All Out and go and see Bucks, Lucha Brothers, Cesa, or you can see all these guys that you like, and it's only just down the road.
Yeah.
So that's the AEW side of things. As you said, I'm completely agreeing with you as well that it's that wrestling fatigue side of things. Because you travel all the way to Cardiff, and then you watch a 3-hour show, then you drive back home to wherever you're from.
Yeah.
Do you then want to sit down and watch another stay up till 5 in the morning to watch another 5 hours of wrestling? And is that going to affect box office numbers?
Yeah, I think even if you're just watching it at home and you watch it go out live, you might just be like, I can't physically watch this much wrestling.
Or I'll just go to sleep and I'll just watch it on replay. Yeah. Or worse yet, I'll find an alternative mean. A true alternative.
Plus you've also got Royal Quest.
That's the other point I was going to get to is that, so there's 3 shows on that day.
Oh, God.
2 of which are
it's going to be the worst day of work for us ever. Oh,
you know, I thought August was going to be a quiet month. Apparently not. Apparently I was well wrong. I should have booked my holiday for August. No, instead, we are getting 3 shows, 2 of which are taking place in the UK. So you've got All Elite in Chicago with All Out. You have got NXT UK Cardiff, which is in Cardiff, and New Japan are in London for their Royal Quest tour. Now, Royal Quest is something that New Japan are very, very behind. I was actually seeing them tweeting about this morning because they're pushing this as the first true New Japan show in the United Kingdom. We did have a New Japan show last year, but the main criticism against that show is like, well, it just felt like Rev Pro.
Yeah.
It was a Rev Pro show. It was a jumped up Rev Pro show. This year, they are fully pushing this as this is a New Japan show. Tanahashi is coming over. Okada is coming over. Naito is coming over. Zack Sabre Jr., Will Ospreay, like all their big names that you don't, like when you go to Rev Pro, you can see Zack, you can see Will, you can see Ishii. But now we're bringing over Naito, Ospreay. Naito and Okada and Tanahashi. So bringing out these big names are going to do this big thing. And word on the street is that I don't know this for sure, but WWE have got word that ticket sales for it haven't massively sold out.
Yeah.
So they've announced a show that can directly compete against it, because that really is, you have either got to choose if you want to go see New Japan Royal Quest or you go see NXT TakeOver UK Cardiff. Like, really, you don't have the option. Like, you can watch one of them on delay. You could watch NXT TakeOver UK on delay.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? I don't know. That's a brand that no one cares
later,
about.
Later, on demand.
Yeah, on demand. Or you could watch on NJPW World. But you really are making the fan base choose which show you want to go to. Now,
and that's more of a competition, yeah.
Yes. So let's hear, this is the quote that Triple H gave after the show when someone said, hey, man.
Hey, dude.
You announced this show. It's the same day as All Out.
Yeah.
No one's really talking about Royal Quest, but they certainly are talking about the All Elite Wrestling thing. But here's what Triple H had to say. I will say this to everyone in here. Contrary to, I'm sure, some of the buzz, the date of August 31st is a date we've had for a long time. The building has been booked with us in Cardiff. Geez, long before WrestleMania 35, I think. We just hadn't announced it because it wasn't the right time. And you don't want to announce something for a brand 6 months out or whatever. At least I don't, the way I see it. Tonight was the right night to do it. It had nothing to do with anyone else, to be honest. We will take place live in primetime in the UK and be on in the afternoon here in the US. So it is what it is. Now, TakeOver Blackpool was announced in November, took place in January, which is 2 months out.
Yeah.
We're, what, 2-3 months out till August now?
Yeah, two.
2 months out till August. So you could say three because it's at the end of the month. Perhaps that might be in line with what Triple H thinks, but if the building has been booked for that long.
Yeah.
And like to say that, oh, we wouldn't announce anything that's 6 months in advance. I mean, you've already announced War Games. That's in November.
Yeah, but that was kind of obvious.
But again, that's also the big shows.
Yeah.
Like, so you've announced Toronto because that's going with SummerSlam. You announced War Games because that's going with Survivor Series. So is this a plan? Was this always, they were always going to do the Cardiff show on August 31st and it just so happens to be on the same date as All Elite Wrestling? Or is it a case that they booked this show or All Out was announced and they took the NXT UK brand and were like, let's put a show on in the UK on that same date and we'll get something booked quickly? Because I know that Triple H says you have to book these buildings far in advance, and Pritchard has always said this as well. NXT TakeOver Connecticut, or 25, was booked very late because it was meant to be Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
It was going to be NXT TakeOver Saudi Arabia. Then those plans changed, and they were scrabbling to find a place to book it. And within 6 weeks to go before the event, they managed to get a building booked. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they have got this booked as a last-minute thing.
I would say that there are probably a larger quantity of buildings of that size in America, whereas in the UK it's probably a bit harder to get the kind of arena they're after specifically for an NX, for like a takeover style thing.
But, I'm playing devil's advocate.
But I think it could be either way. It's still a choice to announce it now. Like, you could have waited one more month and done it. Like, then, because if your thing is a 2 month announcement, this is kind of a 3 month announcement. So you could have just waited till the next thing and gone takeover Cardiff. But I also understand completely that the time you want to announce another takeover is during a takeover, especially for the lower brand of NXT, because you get the biggest audience of people specifically interested in that type of wrestling watching, and you go, here is another one.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Pete Dunne guy? He's going
to
be there.
Exactly. I think that's the key to it, I think, is that you waited until a takeover to make the announcement where you're going to have your largest audience watching it, because more people watch takeovers than they do the weekly shows, I would wager. So this is now in front of more eyes. Like, NXT TakeOver Blackpool was just announced on the NXT UK show.
Yeah.
A show that very few people watch. So
this weird is to do it on a night that doesn't have an NXT UK match, though.
Yeah, that's
considering
true,
considering that, you know, Walter and Pete Dunne were at TakeOver before Mania.
So that's actually a very good point, because if this was booked before Mania 35, you could have announced it after that NXT UK match at the TakeOver show over
Mania
weekend.
You surely could have done a match with Tony Storm. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't have to be the UK champion, does it? It could have been the tag champs or Tony Storm coming down and having a match and, like, putting on a good showcase for NXT UK and then going, oh, by the way,
yeah,
take over UK. Like,
I think, yeah, that's a very interesting point, that if it was booked before Mania 35, if it was me,
yeah,
I would have wanted to announce the, like, hey, if you really liked that match, which everyone should because it was absolutely awesome,
it was the best match of the night,
then you can see more of this great stuff,
yeah,
A,
absolutely,
by watching the show weekly, but B, by going to NXT TakeOver UK, because we're going to Cardiff and we're doing our second TakeOver event. Then you're going to create some really big buzz because that's announced over Mania weekend where you've got the most eyes on the product.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm very much on the fence about this because I do think that there's a lot of factors in play.
Yeah.
I do think that the "this is the true alternative" was a direct dig.
Yeah.
And that was a direct,
that was a dig. Direct
dig. I'm not sure about the moves. I'm certainly not sure about Stephanie. And I don't know where I quite sit with the TakeOver card.
I think it would have forced their hand anyway if you get the announcement of, you know, All Out's coming and it's on this day. You have to announce yours because otherwise you are risking ticket sales. So you just have to go, oh yeah, by the way, we're doing this.
Yeah. I'd also say as well that if this was a true shot at AEW to announce at NXT TakeOver event that's going to rival and go up against it,
mm-hmm,
they'd have done the main brand.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have brought the NXT brand over to the UK, announced NXT versus NXT UK.
Yeah,
and
Survivors.
Survivor Series style thing, and then it's like a brand warfare thing because the NXT brand is way more over than the UK brand.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was quite clear at like Download last year. Like, the NXT UK brand doesn't really have a massive amount of interest in it. So if you were looking to this as a direct shot of like, mm-hmm, a shooting from the hip, you'd have brought the main brand over,
yeah,
like they did for London.
Absolutely. And you would have had someone smashing up a Cody Rhodes shaped throne. That's what I would have done,
exactly,
on the show. It's like, yeah,
shoveling the
like
Stardust,
a little, like a, yeah, a Cody Rhodes like Guy Fawkes style.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Pete Quinnell, what are people saying in the chat? Do they think it was a shoot or a work? Or what do they think?
Or
Well, there's a whole lot of talk about not what you're talking about and people just comparing what's better between WWE and AEW. And
that's kind of what we're talking about.
Sort of, yeah. Lots of opinions. Let's just say that.
Opinions.
Opinions.
Nice.
Anyway,
what's happening up in the Super Chats?
Super Chats. So, Angel Perez comes in. It says, NXT TakeOver was amazing. I was there.
Oh, cool. Oh, man, I'm glad. I hope you had a good time. It was a really good show.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, it was really, it was nice. Really cool.
Yeah.
That ladder match.
Tim Art comes in with a donation saying, 12 a.m. down here in Australia. I'm drifting off to sleep to get up early tomorrow to study for my uni exams. Then I get a notification for this live stream. I guess I'm not studying much tomorrow.
Oh, you have to study.
No, you do it like Arnold Rimmer. Like Arnold Rimmer in Red Dwarf, where you spend all your time planning and then realizing that you spent too much time planning that you don't have enough time to study. So then you had 6 weeks. Now you've only got 4 weeks. So then you have to replan those 4 weeks. But then you spend all of that time replanning it. And then before you know, you've got to do 6 weeks worth of studying in 5 hours. And then you say brain pills to get that done.
Just study. Don't listen to Luke. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I really wouldn't listen to me. I didn't study for anything. And I barely got out of school.
Luke only knows things from niche sci-fi programs.
Jay Buller comes in and says, hey guys, greetings from Texas. Where does Breeze go from here? Your thoughts, please.
Well, staying in NXT by all accounts, which I'm super happy about. Seeing like proper Tyler Breeze really put a smile on my face.
And I don't think Breeze lost anything. We'll get onto it later. But I don't think Breeze lost anything in this loss.
Yeah.
I think he's only going to be elevated to a position of probably winning that title
the
next
like
time.
Yeah. This felt like it was a setting up a rematch as opposed to Dream definitively won.
Well, this was very, we'll talk about it more, but this was very subtly positioning the babyface and the heel in this scenario, I think.
Mm-hmm. What we got next?
Next up, we've got Platinum Dragon Studios says, is WWE scared of AEW and should they be? Support WrestleTalk.
You should support WrestleTalk for starters. Mm. Are they scared? I think they are annoyed. I don't think they're scared. I think annoyed is a better word. I don't think they should. Should, though, is an interesting word. Because with their ratings very much struggling at the moment, that's probably only going to get worse if, and I'm saying if, I'm going to underline if, AEW pulls in some big ratings on Turner.
This is the thing. At the moment, there's no reason to... The only thing to be scared of is the unknown, because we don't know anything about the TV show, really, like, or when it's going to go out and that kind of thing. And that's the key. The crux is, when does it go out? Is it a directly competing product? Is it going to cannibalize WWE's audience? If that's the case, be scared. If not, it might just drive more wrestling fans to getting into a ritual of watching more television.
Yep.
So you might just get more viewers because people are like, well, I can watch wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday now. AEW's on a Thursday.
And the flip side of that, again, because it's the unknown, it could create loads of wrestling fans, which in then theory is that's more wrestling fans for you to try and coax over to watch your product as well and sign up to the network and come to get you to come to your shows.
Exactly.
Like, you know, I can
the
Monday
If they're getting Stephen Amell to appear on AEW somewhere down the line, like, you know, he was tweeting to say how much he loved Double or Nothing, and Brandy was like tweeting about like, well, when, where were you then? And, you know, but like if he starts turning up at their events again and stuff like that, you get crossover with famous people that are into AEW. You're gonna bring new fans in because they're fans of people who are fans of wrestling. They're like, maybe I want to know what Arrow thinks of wrestling.
Exactly. And what else is out there? And you kind of create, like, you know, during the Monday Night War, you had a large pool of wrestling fans that were split across two companies. But also you had them that were jumping between the two. So you'd have people who were watching Raw at the same time, but jumping over to see what's happening on Nitro, jump back to watch Raw. And it's going to be different because they're not going to be on the same show or on the same night. But you do have the chance to possibly elevate and create new wrestling fans and elevate both products. So should maybe, but also be excited.
Yeah, I think the key is that it's not they should be scared of the product, because I don't think in any way it's going to kill them off. It should be causing them to internally consider what they are doing and whether that is good enough now. Because that's the thing, they've not had to consider that before.
Yeah, yeah.
They've always got ratings of some degree. They've only ever been rewarded for poor choices by getting bigger deals and making more money. So
we've lost all our viewers. Yeah. Have money.
Yeah. And this is the first time that I think they have to do some sort of self-reflection and go, like, it's bad that the ratings are falling. There's now this other thing that could come along and steal all the ratings that we were, the poor ratings that we were getting.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's time for the reflection of, like, how do we fix this problem? And it's probably not what they're doing currently.
Then more answers will come October.
Mm-hmm.
Pete.
RJ Calmarin, no message, but a generous donation.
Thank you very much.
William Adams says, Chopper Pete is the best. Thanks. Shut up. Hartley
Shut
Reaper.
Up, not Randy.
I get the Randy treatment, do I?
Whoever's in the chair gets the Randy treatment.
Not Randy.
Hartley Reaper comes in and says, show's actually producing wrestling. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, who'd have thunk it, eh?
Mm,
yeah,
crazy.
Putting on just five really good wrestling matches and people really enjoyed it. Who'd have thunk that had worked?
But it's stupid, isn't it? Because it's like, it was a show with what was essentially a lack of angles. There weren't a huge amount of like very wrestling angles, but they did all the angles in the lead up to it. And then at the show, just did a wrestling show. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
So it turns out that you can just do storyline in the weekly show, in the weekly product, and then on the pay-per-views, just give people what they want to see, the wrestling. But yeah.
And really, as we said, like this was a show that was built over 4 weeks, as opposed to like the 3 months that they usually build these shows over. So in 4 weeks, the last TV taping cycle, they were like, uh-oh, it's a takeover we need to build to. Let's write 4 weeks worth of storylines, and we'll build to a big show, and that'll happen at TakeOver 25. We'll have a really good night of wrestling.
But angles really work as well when when it's the tactical deployment of angles. Like when every match is just an angle, you don't get any like, oh, that was good. Like, you know, you don't just get any great finishes where you're just like, oh, I love that match. And the angle, therefore, that follows is not shocking. Like, if Adam Cole's debut had come on a night where five other guys had slid into the ring and super kicked someone in the face, you'd be like, oh, well, it's just another dude doing that. But because it was the end of a show in which most matches had kind of been fairly clean finishes, this shocking debut was like the talking point. And they're very good, NXT, at making the right things the talking point and the focus of the show.
No, what you need is you need to have someone do a pin, but their shoulders aren't really down. So then you just have people debate, was that supposed to be the finish?
You need to confuse people into enjoying stuff. That is the problem.
It's the key to success.
Yeah.
We've got three donations with no messages from Ruben Jorge, Michael Street, and Ruben Jorge again.
Thank you very much, all three of you.
Tim Arndt again says, you think the next match between Shayna and Io will be a kind of hardcore match, maybe involving Candice and the other horsewomen in a handicap match?
I could certainly see them doing a hardcore match or kendo stick on a pole match.
Oh, God.
Don't.
Just to prove that, maybe just to prove that it can be done well.
Yeah, if there's one if there's one brand that could do do something on a pole match right, I would say it's NXT.
Well, they would have done it with Bayley right. Like, they wouldn't have made Bayley go, I can't use this.
Yeah, kendo stick in a pole match, that's what I'm calling. But then don't go by my predictions. I only got one right on TakeOver 25. Oof. Terrible in predictions.
We've got Keith Fries saying NXT is the true alternative, like Pepsi Blue. That's a good one. Asaya Fakire, sorry if I messed that name up. Do you think AEW will take a chance on potential popular but problematic wrestlers, i.e. Austin Aries or Alberto Del Rio?
I'm not sure about Del Rio. I certainly see him doing Austin Aries, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sure about Del Rio. I think Del Rio's got too much baggage with him. I think, and also that, but I also think that wrestling fans aren't massively keen on him. So, not only are you bringing in his baggage, but you're also bringing in a lot of negativity.
A bad smell.
Yeah. He's a fart that follows you into a car.
Sure.
Austin Aries, if you can rein him in, he's a good talent.
Absolutely. Yeah. But actually, Del Rio's a great talent as well. It's just that I don't think he's.
Yeah, but Austin Aries doesn't come with Austin Aries comes with a rampant ego, and not like a problematic approach to work.
And fans do. And I think fans do like him as well.
Yeah.
Kavon Brown says, Adam Cole champion, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, that wasn't what I predicted. Dang it.
I did.
I thought they were going to go in a very different direction with the Undisputed Era.
The exact opposite.
Well, we'll get to that.
Unfortunate. We've got John Marth, no message, but a donation nonetheless.
Thank you very much.
JobberJJ496 says, Street Profits, that ladder match.
Yeah, I actually had an email about the Street Profits, which I'm going to find so I can read it out on air. But please carry on.
Cool. We'll go to the next and we'll come back to
it.
We've got Jeffrey Pridemore saying, Moxley said money isn't everything. Can moving back across to NXT help morale if that's what the wrestlers truly want? Much love from Detroit.
Absolutely. I think that's entirely the point of Tyler Breeze going back. I think he was just, you know, clearly you don't get into wrestling to not wrestle. And to just do silly skits. And like, as much as you might like being on Up, Up, Down, Down, it probably feels a bit like the death of your wrestling career if that's all you're doing. So, moving back to NXT is probably a massive ego boost for him as well, because you get to walk back in as someone who was completely mistreated on the main roster, and you walk back in as star at a place that remembers who you are and welcomes you back with open arms and chants and all that kind of stuff, and you walk straight into a title match. Like, yeah. I think it's good for the people who are there currently. It's like not all hope is lost if you do leave. It's good morale for Tyler Breeze to come back and finally have, like, people care again, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great also for people like Velveteen Dream to be in the ring with someone as tenured as Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it would be a case of Tyler wanted to go, yep. voiced his frustrations. They said, what do you want? He said, I want to go back to NXT.
Yeah.
And they said, and cool,
it's a, that's but fine. It's a because and it's much, much better than trying to go, like, I want to leave completely.
I think you would much rather send you back to NXT than rather than leave for the competition or leave for elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pete,
give some we time have to think about what they're doing.
Yeah. How many more have we got?
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six. Let's have two
of them.
And then we'll move on to the main shows. We've got a lot to talk about.
Sure thing. We have got Core Dream Studios. It says, good morning from New York, USA. Much love, Pete, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie.
Oh, New York, best place ever.
Good morning.
It's great.
Love it. So good.
And then we've got Anton H saying, NXT needs a TV deal. Would be great financially. Introduce casuals to NXT and shows what's great about WWE. But it does devalue the WWE network.
Mm-hmm. Very possibly, actually, yeah. Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day, and he said his biggest annoyance in the world is that the network is 30 days behind. Because he's just like, if I could just not have... I mean, he's got Sky Sports at the moment, but he doesn't want to have to let go of Sky Sports and then get BT Sports so we can watch Raw and SmackDown. It's like, right. If it could just be on the network, that'd be the best.
It would just make our jobs so much easier.
Yeah. But it's a case of TV deals are sort of king around these parts,
yeah.
Like Kong. So you've really got to bow down to those. There's always a chance, though, that NXT could end up on FS1. Like, that's been the rumor, that's been the talk. So maybe come October, NXT will be on TV.
But and then it will be 30 days behind on the network.
On the network, yeah, which would be a real shame. I wonder if that might hurt the network. I mean, it might do it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
They're better off offering some sort of advertising thing, though, because, like, the only thing that is advertised on the network when I watch it is WWE. So why wouldn't you say to BT Sport and all your broadcasters, it's like, we'll do your adverts on the network just so we can put the show out at the same time.
Mm. Well, they'd have, like, Cage Jewelers at one point, I think, was doing some advert spots on the network, but it didn't last very long.
Yeah.
Is that what's Cage Jewelers? Like, it's what wrestling fans be like, oh, I do need to buy some diamonds, actually, while I'm here, while I'm watching the Velveteen Dream wrestle. I do need to buy some diamonds. right, so do you want to add one more?
One last thing, just before you get back onto it, your discussion about the NXT UK Cardiff and All Out and the New Japan show. Something that's actually just come up on Twitter just before the stream started, which is from a New Japan guy saying, per our UK sources, WWE had a spy in one of the ticket agencies mandated by Copperbox. New Japan were using for Royal Quest. Saw that New Japan had only sold 2,000 tickets, but didn't realize they had a second ticket agency, and that total sales were 5,000 plus. WWE thought sales were bad, saw money on the table, didn't do the research on competing events, e.g. the rugby match, and rushed in circa March. Now WWE are facing a situation with twice as many wrestling fans as they thought already committed to going to Royal Quest, and hugely inflated Cardiff hotel costs due to the Wales vs. Ireland World Cup warm-up rugby game, at least £100 a night.
Ooh. So yeah, that's where I thought...
I did see
some people who had been talking about the
ticket sales
thing. That must have been where it was from. Thank you very much for that, Pete. Good investigative, whatever I said.
Investigative
work.
Thank you that very one? Much. Good producing yes. there, Pete.
Good producing.
Good alligator, Pete.
Good dancing. Right. Yes, back to you.
Thank you. So that is very interesting on that topic then. If it was a case of they thought, ha ha ha, well, New Japan.
Well, we can sneak in.
Yeah, they've screwed the pooch with their ticket sales.
How big is the venue, Copperbox?
I shall Google.
Thank you.
It's across the road from here. We could walk over to find out. But you might have to wait a while.
Count. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Just find the last seat, the number, and then add the rows. Easy.
You could do. I'm just going to be standing
behind. I've counted a venue before.
I'm just going to be standing behind you saying different numbers, trying to put you off.
It's up to 7,500.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so it's at capacity.
Yeah, so they've already sold two-thirds of the tickets. But in with 3 months to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
That'd be fine. But then that might spell trouble for NXT UK Cardiff.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, particularly, as you said, because of the rugby. Because do you know what's popular in Wales? Rugby.
Blooming rugby.
It's quite popular over in Wales.
We love the rugby.
They bloody love the rugby.
Bloody love the rugby in Wales.
Anyway, let's talk about NXT regular TakeOver 25.
Plain flavoured. NXT ready salted 25.
They had an amazing video package at the start of this because this is the 25th TakeOver. So it was celebrating the history of TakeOvers. And, you know, we started 5 years ago. They started with Arrival and going through Our Evolution, Respect, before they started naming them after the cities they were in and things like that. And they showed the London one. And then you start, like, the stars that have come up from NXT, like Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Charlotte, Becky, even shots of Jushin Thunder Liger and an NXT show. Big hype then for the main three matches of the show. I thought this was a terrific, terrific video package.
I love this opening video package. The only thing I disliked about it was seeing all the faces of people who've been ruined by the company. But that it was also just like, look how much talent there is in this company. And look at some of their highlights from, like, probably their career highlights in terms of, like, matches they've had, things they've done. Hope is not lost for WWE. They've still got a lot of these people who also, some of them won't want to leave right now and will be swayed into staying if they're given the right opportunity, surely.
I also give a lot of props to NXT as well for this amount of growth in that five-year period. Really great stuff. It just shows that if you are sort of dedicated to, if you're creating a product that people are looking for, then you will find fans for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Credit to NXT for that. Also, credit to Mauro Ranallo for his lovely mustard jacket that he was wearing. Mm. It was delightful. It looked delicious.
Looked delicious. I'm going to lick Mauro Ranallo.
And they also announced a little tidbit that Johnny Gargano has been on 14 of the 25 takeovers. Mm-hmm. He really is Johnny Takeover.
He really is, yeah. As Nigel McGuinness. Yeah. They said in that opening package
I
as well.
I can't believe he's been there that long. He feels like a more new, like, addition. Mm. But yeah. But our opening contest was Roderick Strong versus Matthew Riddle. This was just a straight one-on-one match, but it was absolutely awesome. This was an incredible opener.
Yeah. They just came out like a house on fire, and they just did big move after big move. Clever ring psychology. Like, put each other through the paces. The commentators kept putting over the idea that Roderick Strong has the best conditioning in NXT. Like, you know, he goes at a pace that other people can't keep up with. Except Riddle did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, they did a classic, like, what I would say is normally a multi-man tag match opener with two guys.
Yeah.
Like, they did that sort of pacing that you get out of the North American Championship ladder match and that kind of thing. They just pulled that off with two dudes.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so unbelievably good.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit here. So we were in Birmingham over the weekend. We were at the UK Games Expo. And we were playing Captain Sonar. Playing Captain Sonar in the hotel lounge, like, bar area of where we were staying. And you were checking up on the results. And we had said on the prediction show, if you want to go back and rewatch the prediction show, my set of predictions really did hinge, actually both of ours, both our sets of predictions, really hinged on this first match.
Oh, yeah.
Because, as we said, if Riddle wins, I'm balked for the rest of the night. Because
There's no way they're doing any of the other stuff, though,
exactly.
I thought. Yeah.
We put all of our chips down onto one theory. Yep. And it was like, and it
I'm
all comes
all
back.
In.
I'm all
I mean,
in.
Sorry, I'm NXT.
I'm TakeOver Cardiff on this one match. And unfortunately, Matt did win, and I was like, oh man, I'm knackered for the rest of the night now. Yeah. And that would end up being true
as
well.
That was firing your own torpedo. So. Fire torpedo.
So I submerged and then didn't do anything and just let everyone look at me.
These are all Captain Sonar references for those who haven't played the game.
But back to this match. My favourite spot of this match, which I absolutely loved, was when Riddle was making his comeback. He hits this amazing suplex. So Strong is working him over, and he goes to lock in a suplex, but there's no like, oop, I nearly got you. It's literally just, he gets into suplex position, but Riddle already has suplexed him over. It was really, really quick. And it was almost brainbuster-like.
Yeah.
He starts making this comeback, and he hits a GTS. And as Roddy lands down, selling the GTS, spins round, Riddle grabs him and hits a German suplex.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It ruled.
There were a few chains in this match like that. Like, Riddle does that other one where he does the ripcord knee, and then he hits a V trigger thing, flips them over, hits another knee. Like, there's a few chains that they do in this match that are just amazing bits of wrestling. Roddy did one as well where he did like three backbreakers in a row, then a butterfly powerbomb.
Yeah.
And as Riddle kicks out, flips him over into the stronghold.
Yeah.
Like, it's so clever.
This was...
Everyone, when someone was on top, they were relentless in terms of just like putting the hurt on the other person.
Which then built into the finish because like... Strong gets the knees up on a spinning senton to the injured back again. You've got Nigel screaming like, it's over, it's over. But when Riddle locks in the bro mission, he is raining down elbows, kind of like we saw with against Cassius Ohno on TV. And he was just picking him up and just raining more and more elbows on him. As you said, when they were on top, when whoever was on top was being vicious and like really, really hammering into them. And eventually he hits the bro Derek for the win, which is kind of his cradle tombstone pile driver. So I want to say a rare pinfall victory for Matt Riddle in NXT has been very much based around the bro mission.
Yeah.
So I think adding and putting over the bro Derek as a as a slam finishing move, kind of like what they've done with Becky Lynch over on SmackDown, on Raw, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's
really, really smart.
Yeah, it's smart to have a pinfall finisher in your arsenal, and that it's a good idea as well to like not always have him tap people out, because part of Roddy's thing as well is that he's a very good wrestler. So it's like if you want to tell a story where they were very evenly matched and it was quite a quick victory, getting a 1-2-3 is much easier than locking in a submission. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I thought it was a great opener.
It was amazing.
Big fan of this. And they were kind of putting over there saying that the rumors are that he's going to be going for the NXT Championship. But as you were talking about in the office, the other part of that commentary is that he's also still eyeing up that North American Championship that he didn't beat Dream for.
So I'm wondering if he could be the first dual title holder in NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that would be... Well, I mean, yeah, dual title was in dual singles title because I guess Cole, technically, if we're using Freebird rules, was North American champion while the NXT Tag Team champion.
That's true, yes. We saw HBK and Road Dogg in the crowd comparing their Hall of Fame rings. And then we got...
Such cool guys.
So this is difficult because clearly Cole versus Gargano was match of the night.
Yeah.
But I did very much enjoy this ladder
match. This wins the match of my heart.
My brain is saying it's definitely Cole Gargano.
Oh,
but my heart is saying it's this four-way ladder match.
This was so good.
It was the Street Profits versus the Forgotten Sons versus the Undisputed Era versus Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan for the vacant NXT Tag Team Championships. We've got a video package of this recapping the title, War Raiders. What are they called now? Viking Raiders, relinquishing the titles, and then promos from all four teams, which is a bit goofy because they're all sort of filmed up on ladders, and it was a bit hokey, but I liked it. and it was... I mean, we can't go through this match spot by spot, but...
There were so many spots.
I've written so many notes on this match, a ludicrous amount of notes, because I told myself I'm only going to note down the things that I think are worth talking about.
But they just did...
And I was writing down loads.
It was inventive, is what I thought. Like, you know, like a lot of ladder matches do very similar spots, and this was... They'd thought of a lot of cool new bits and bobs to do. Like, I loved when the Forgotten Sons had the ladder on their head and they were doing the charge into everyone. And then Birch and Law can just sneak up behind and just like double German. But to just really sell it home.
Yeah.
Those guys just popped that ladder off their head as they were going and flung it across the
ring. Kyle O'Reilly was like, he was in the firing range.
He was inches from that. Yeah.
Inches from being hit by that ladder.
And that is seconds after as well. He took that bump off the top. They pushed over a ladder.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they managed to push over a ladder and Kyle O'Reilly somehow managed to end up on top of a ladder. Like he was on the underside of it and then somehow in the fall managed to end up on top of it and smashed his back to smithereens.
Oof, and then he just and this was
and then
was
took about six more bumps on it.
Oh, it was the ninth person in this match.
Yeah.
There was one ladder that was doing so much work of just like taking or having people take bumps onto it. It was this like sequence where everyone was just being thrown onto these ladders.
Yeah.
This one ladder.
Yeah.
It was just move after move after move with various different people getting in and hitting moves onto this ladder.
Yeah.
It was absolutely spectacular.
The Street Profits did a really cool spot where they laid... I can't remember who they lay on there, but they lay someone on there, lifted it up, and then Ford does a leapfrog over Dawkins and sort of crotches himself on top of the person on top of the ladder.
That was the ladder that was doing all
and
the
work.
And
they did it a couple of times. And then Kyle O'Reilly breaks it up by doing a missile dropkick and then landing on the ladder himself.
Speaking of Montez Ford, he did a frog splash that had so much impact that when he was selling it, he was nearly walking on his hands.
Yeah, just handstanded away.
Like I've always said, Rob Van Dam has the best sell of the frog splash because he really sells. Like he feels like there's so much impact, and he like bounces upward and he sells his midsection. Mm. Montez Ford bounces up into, as you say, into a handstand position, then essentially goes before falling down. He is unreal.
Yeah.
Montez Ford. His dive that he did. So there was a moment when, so Jackson Ryker comes down to the, during the match. So Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fischer in the ring. Kyle and Jackson Ryker just sort of stands out at the top of this ramp. Like a Terminator just storms down and he lays waste to everyone.
This was the Jackson Ryker I've waited for.
Yeah.
This is the perfect deployment of him and it should be like this with him. Like,
yeah.
After the Humberto Carrillo beatdown, I was like, this is what you want to do with him. Like, if you're going to make him a psychopath and he's going to stare the camera out all the time, have him go nuts on people.
And he went nuts on everyone. He laid waste to all the other three teams. Obviously not his own team, but he laid waste to the other three teams in this match.
Single-handedly.
Like, and even when people were kind of getting a bit of offense, and he was like, oh, okay, these will be the guys that shut him down. No.
It took all six other people in this match to shut him down.
There's a moment when he lays out everyone and there's only Larkin left, and you're like, ah, it's going to be Oni. Yeah. Oni's going to run and he's going to hit this big European uppercut and it's going to be wicked. No, he runs towards him. Jackson Ryker just grabs him and goes, nope. And just like back body drops him onto the lad, and you're like, oh, not even Oni can stop him.
Je ne pas did that.
And so he just lays waste to everyone. And then, and this might be my favorite moment of the whole match, all of these six guys get into the ring and they all work together. So you've then got like Bobby Fish and Danny Burch working together, like using a ladder together to take out Jackson Ryker. Mm. And it was like, we need to put aside our differences for the moment so we can get rid of this Terminator that they were putting over so strong in this match. Is this really
So much damage but just didn't go down.
He was like how some people think that Captain Marvel is pushed in the MCU. Like he's too overpowered. He was just being, everyone was just laying waste to him, what, like hither and yonder. And then he gets outside. And then, and then we get this dive from Montez Ford, which was enormous.
Yeah.
This was, like, it's the big Undertaker dive that he does.
Yeah.
But he got so much incredible air on this. It was absolutely amazing.
Because they knock him out of the ring, don't they?
Yes.
And then they knock him out of the ring, and Fish and O'Reilly are there holding a ladder. And then O'Reilly snaps up the structure, folds it up, and they knock him off the apron. And then they turn around, both holding the ladder still. And Ford just leaps over the ladder and the ropes and all the way to Jackson Ryker, who is out of position, too far away, and still hits it.
And hits it picture perfectly. Mm. Absolutely amazing. The other thing I thought was very interesting from this match is it really felt like it was setting up a potential match for the next NXT TakeOver, or at least what we might say the next set of tapings, which is a feud between the Era and the Forgotten Sons, which we've been sort of talking about on this show before. Like, you could do that sort of faction warfare. Because when Jackson Ryker was in the ring laying waste to everyone, it was all built around Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly were at the start. They were also the ones that were at the end of this segment.
Yeah.
And you've got Bobby Fish shouting, you want a war. You want a war.
Yeah.
And like, it really feels like it was a challenge so you could build for the next show strong Fish and O'Reilly versus the Forgotten Sons while Adam Cole is defending the NXT championship in the main events.
See, I think they might do, and then you can also then build that into War Games if the Forgotten Sons get another member, like if there's a secret Forgotten Sons member that you bust out for War Games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that kind of thing could work quite nicely.
I absolutely loved this match.
It was amazing. I thought it was good storytelling as well, because I think in terms of the Undisputed Era, like they played this well, because Strong's match was so close and it didn't feel like anyone had the advantage at all. It just felt like it came down to who caved first. This match as well, Fish and O'Reilly were in control for so much of the match. They were completely dominant here until the Forgotten Sons got involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was this moment at the end where Forgotten Sons were on. They tipped the ladders over. So they both climbed, didn't they? So Fish and O'Reilly climbed and Blake and Cutler climbed.
Mm.
It was Blake and Cutler.
There was a bit swarming.
Oh, no, sorry. It was Birch and Larkin on the ladder
fight. Yeah, because they do a hockey fight at the top of the ladder.
Yeah, they do a hockey fight. And then the Forgotten Sons tip the ladders.
Yeah.
And then as they climb, Dawkins and Montez Ford get involved.
Dawkins just powers through, spears, I think it was Blake, And then Montez Ford does a springboard onto the ladder. He knocks Cutler off and he grabs the titles. The Street Profits win. This was their first ever takeover show, which is quite stunning, really. And they win the tag team titles on their first show.
Yeah.
Really great showing for the Profits. Really put them over strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it put all four teams over really strong as well.
So no one was the weak link.
Absolutely. Everyone did their parts perfectly. This was such a fun ladder match.
Yeah.
NXT ladder matches is like my new favorite thing because you've got like the North American ladder match, then you've got this one. And I was thinking about the DIY Authors of Pain ladder match as well. Like I think they haven't done a foot wrong with these ladder matches yet.
So this was, yeah, so this
maybe that Bo Dallas.
I was chatting to Simon earlier about this, and he was saying how he felt like the moment that Jackson Ryker comes down to interrupt this ladder match was almost like an FU to the Brock Lesnar Money in the Bank one, right? Because it's the same thing of like this guy who's not in the match, who's a complete monster, storms to the ring and tries to take control of the match. And yet, Jackson Ryker won, obeyed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Brock Lesnar, who just went, I'll climb the ladder and take the briefcase, I guess.
LOL, I win.
LOL, I win, yeah. Jackson Ryker looked at least for Blake and Cutler, was like, guys, you need to get up because you need to go up here and get this.
You're the tag team.
But then the people who were having the match and had put their bodies on the line for this whole thing, for this spectacle, turned around and beat him and sent him away. Like, it did feel like the exact counterpoint to the Money in the Bank ladder match.
If I'd have done this show with housemate Simon, then do you think that thumbnail would have been NXT shoots on WWE?
NXT shoots, yeah. NXT shoots on Brock.
Shoots on themselves.
Shoots all over Brock.
So I had this email in about the Street Profits.
Go
and
for it.
We get this every now and again because you and I are very, very high on the Street Profits. We have, since day one of them being in NXT, we have been on the Street Profits train.
Yeah.
I've been like, these are this one of the best teams in WWE all over. Montez Ford is an absolute star. And
yeah, him especially, yeah.
But we've had a lot of comments from people. We've had things on Twitter, we've had it on Discord, we've had it in the YouTube comments saying, like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I do not get the Street Profits. I cannot fathom why you like them so much. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. So we got this email in from Julian, and I'm not reading this out to be like a, hey, we were right and you guys were wrong. That's not the way I'm pitching this. But Julian says, hey, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, Pete, and Simon Nater. For the longest, I wasn't on board with the Street Profits hype train. And every time you guys went on and on about them, I rolled my eyes. I didn't really like the ring work. I thought their attitude was obnoxious, and overall, they just kind of annoyed me. However, that ladder match completely changed it all for me. It was like someone flipped the switch. I even ordered some of their merch. Luke, you're absolutely right. That's his words, not mine. Ford has superstar written all
Said
over
no
him.
One ever.
Absolutely, yeah. Certainly when it comes to predictions. Oh, yeah. Luke, you were right about that one. Said very rarely this season. Montez Ford has superstar written all over him. Without a doubt, he should be a future WWE champion. That is all. Stay great.
Yeah. I just think they always had the career. I think I agree. Early days for them, guys, they didn't have the in-ring ability. They had a couple of cool moves, and they had the fact that
charisma,
and they had the fact that Montez Ford can jump higher than any man I've ever seen. But they had charisma for days, and I think whereas I think a lot of other people come in trying to be charismatic, they came in genuinely charismatic while not having necessarily the ring work. But I meant it meant that they could rest on the thing they were good at and work on the stuff that they were bad at. Not bad at, but not as good as everyone else was. And I think they've now elevated themselves to that level where they feel this felt like the right time for them to win the championship. I didn't feel like before they particularly ever were at the right point to be the champions. Mm-hmm. This definitely felt like the moment.
Yeah. And to put over Ford even more, Angelo Dawkins hasn't had the world's greatest NXT career.
No.
Like, he's very much been a guy that people just see like, nah, the curse of greatness, the whole bowl thing, no one really got it. He never got over.
Mm-hmm.
I think Montez Ford has elevated him so, so much. And it's interesting, if you go back and watch the entrance that they do, Ford is the one that's leading it. Dawkins is always looking to Ford to be like, what do I do next?
Mm-hmm.
And Ford is like, we're going here, we're going here, we're going here. Because Montez, he's an absolute leader. And he knows how to get this group over, how to get this act over. And it just works so well. Those two together are absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it would work if it was just either one of them.
No.
Like, I think Ford would have the most chance of being a single star. But I think it's the pairing that makes it work, because it feels like this party atmosphere.
Yeah.
The whole sippy cup thing, like running around together. It all kind of just feels like this group thing.
Yeah. I think actually a good team to compare them to is Too Cool in that sense. Mm. Scotty Tuohy, an absolutely incredible worker, so underrated as a worker.
Yeah.
But him as a solo star would not have been as over as Too Cool were as a tag team.
It's good to have someone to bounce off, and I think Angelo Dawkins' Curse of Greatness thing works in this scenario. It feels egotistical on your own. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing it with your mates, it feels like nicknames.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Montez Ford really has pulled out the best in Dawkins. Yeah. I think Dawkins always had it there, and I think he needed Montez to pull it out of him. Anyway, backstage we had Io and Candice having a quick meeting with Candice saying that she's got her back if anything gets out of hand. But up next we had Tyler Breeze versus the Velveteen Dream for the NXT North American Championship. Tyler fully back in Prince Pretty mode, even with the introduction of, like, from his residence in insert place, because he's no longer a policeman. He is back to being the fashion model. Yeah. He's back to being Zoolander.
Yes.
That's what we're back to Zoolander, Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze.
Serious gear Tyler Breeze as well. Like, he looks, you know, they got rid of all the tassels and stuff. This was like, I'm a serious wrestler now, Tyler Breeze.
Still Prince Pretty, but
very much now just like in, I think, in a modern NXT as well. Like, I think when he was first in NXT, all that sort of like larger gimmick stuff was kind of doing the rounds. You had the Adam Roses of the world and all that kind of stuff in there. No Way Jose.
You're both Dallas's.
All that stuff has been cleared out now. So, like, you've kind of got to go a bit more straight-laced with it. And I think this really worked.
Yeah. And they were even putting over the fact that Tyler Breeze was on the very first NXT, not show, but the big show they did before it was even called TakeOver and it was NXT Arrival.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze was on that show. So, actually, even if Tyler Breeze wasn't back full-time with NXT, this still would have been a really nice thing to have done.
Someone
who was on the very first show to come back for the 25th, I think is a really nice moment. But the fact that he's back full-time is even better.
Yeah, I think it was a lovely bit of history.
Yes, not the most elaborate entrance I've seen for the Velveteen Dream either. Just come out wearing a nice shirt.
Yeah, I think some other people were getting some better entrances here.
Mm.
I think they didn't want to, like, I think the two options here were to either do, they both come out with a similar entrance, or they both come out really over elaborately.
Mm.
And maybe they didn't have the budget to do both doing over elaborately after having to get a venue in the last 4 weeks.
I'm going to defer to you on this one because you had your point you wanted to make about the defining who is the face and heel in this dynamic.
Yeah, so I think this match, it was a very good match for one thing, and it was a very, like, it was nice to see Breeze go back to working as Breeze. Mm. And, like, you realize that he actually does have this arsenal of moves that is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, can do a lot of really cool stuff. Like, he did, like, a pump handle side-on lung blower thing that was awesome. And there's a lot of, like, it was just a really well-worked match between the two. But the finish where Dream grabs the belt and goes to kind of use it on Breeze, to me, was kind of positioning Dream as the heel here. And then, because then Breeze does the honorable thing of giving the belt to the referee to not get disqualified. And that's when Dream hits the Dream Valley Driver and then the Purple Rainmaker. And we get the finish. And to me, I was like, oh, well, that says that. And then they did the finale, which was they take a selfie together.
Yeah.
And that was when I was like, I don't know why you would do that. This is Tyler Breeze's equivalent of a handshake.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's just tried to cheat.
And you had that during the match as well, when, like, Dream was very much like Tyler Breeze was going, you know, took advantage of him early, and Dream was like, whoa, I was not expecting this. And he came out, like, viciously and was, like, really pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Felt like a new level of aggression from Dream. And when he's, like, hammering him against the announcer's table and he lays him on there, he goes and grabs Tyler's phone to take a selfie with this injured Tyler Breeze and, like, with the title belt and everything, like, say cheese.
Yeah, picture with a champ.
Exactly, which feels like a really heelish move.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then, as you say, you combine that with the finish then, where Dream essentially tried to cheat as a way to distract, and really, he wasn't looking to cheat. He was just looking to distract Breeze so that he could then take advantage of that and hit the Dream Valley Driver and the Purple Rainmaker for the win. I think, again, kind of positioned him in the heel. I agree with you on that one. So, yeah, and then the selfie afterwards is a very, I don't want to say interesting, it was surprising then that they almost did the handshake afterwards.
Yeah, so I didn't think that was the right call. It's a shame because they already did the take a selfie with the champ and then Breeze lays him out. So they'd already done that, which is what that probably should have been. I think that probably should have been that moment where they go to take the selfie and then Breeze lays him out and Breeze gets to walk out taller. But I can see this feud continuing from here. And
I
this
can
was,
as well.
Because, again, I don't think that finish did anything to hurt Tyler at all. I think it was actually a good way to protect him by having him give the belt back and go, like, I'm not going to get disqualified or use this and cheat to win.
Yeah.
So, but then he's caught out and caught short because he has to deal with holding something he's not really supposed to be holding.
And again, you're talking about, like, positioning Breeze as the babyface. There's that moment when he knocks Dream out the ring.
Yeah.
And Dream's going to get counted out. But Tyler Breeze is so desperate to win that he rolls back in the ring to stop the referee counting so that he can get him back into the ring, because otherwise he's not going to win the title.
No.
And he wants to get an honorable win.
I think it was very perfectly positioned. And I think it's the right choice to make Breeze the babyface here, because I think he's had the hardest time. Him coming back and being a heel, he can be immediately undermined and devalued by anything that Dream says about him going to Raw and being rubbish. Like,
yeah.
It's much better to use that sympathy to make him the babyface here. And I think people were really behind Breeze in this match. Like, people were, the Breeze is gorgeous, that was gorgeous, mm-hmm. chants went around. Like, really, people really want to get behind him in NXT again.
Absolutely.
So I can see him being a champ before the year's out.
Someone else who might be in that talk is Punishment Martinez, who's going to be mm-hmm. making his re-debut soon as Damian Priest, his new character there. He wasn't at the pre-show. Then the pre-show was Keith Lee versus Tesco's Finest, Kona Reeves.
Oh, Tesco's Finest.
And Bianca Belair versus Mia Yim again.
Look forward to those on Wednesday.
Those are the matches we'll be talking about on Wednesday, which means struggle to come up with a title. Then we got, although it'll be a quick watch, Io Shirai up next, taking on Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. This was another really, really good match. Very much enjoyed this. A lot of aggression from Io, kind mm-hmm. of building up from this, the beatdowns that she was been a part of, and watching them take out Kairi Sane, and we've seen her wiping people out with kendo sticks and things like that. So a lot of aggression out of Io in this match, but Baszler essentially systematically destroyed her. Started to just take her apart.
So I think this was my least favourite. I think my least favourite match in terms of in-ring work, but also in terms of finish. I didn't really get it.
I
wasn't so on. I just couldn't quite wrap my head around what they meant with any of this, or like what they were trying to do beyond, I guess, swerve people in a way. Like, they just had to, I think they just had to have someone who wasn't popular win something. Like,
yeah.
Well, in the same way that, like, Street Profits won, Matt Riddle won, Velveteen Dream or Tyler Breeze could have won and it wouldn't have really mattered. I think same in the finale, like Cole or Gargano could have won, it wouldn't really matter. This was the only one where if Baszler wins this, people really care, like, because they don't want her to.
Yeah.
This was the only opportunity to have a monster heel win something.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people thought, I think we all had down Io to win, so I think it was very surprising that Baszler won. But let's go through to that end. Crowd were noticeably quiet during this match as well, it should be noted. But as the Io's was sort of was on top, out came Duke and Shafir. And they sort of walked down the ring. They didn't come out with Baszler at the start. They came down towards the end. And then out of nowhere, from out the back, runs Candice LeRae, promised that she'd be in the corner of Io Shirai. She has a kendo stick. She just starts wailing them out. The commentators start calling her Tenacious C.
Yep.
So that she starts wailing people out.
Tenacious C.
She does a big sort of step up forearm onto both of them. And that kind of like creates a sort of little distraction on the outside. And then we have Baszler getting Io in the Kirifuna clutch. Nice spot I really liked, actually, was when Io flipped her over, or like rolled her up in the Kirifuna clutch, same way the Kairi Sane did. I thought that was a nice little touch. But then eventually, Baszler gets the Kirifuna clutch, locks it in for ages.
Yeah.
Io sells it like mad, and then eventually does this very slow tap out. Crowd does boo the finish because they didn't want to see Baszler retain. Question is then, is who can beat Baszler now?
I think it's Candice.
You think Candice?
I think it's Candice or Mia Yim. It will be one of the two.
Dakota Kai.
You think Dakota?
Well, she's got a history.
When's she coming back, though?
I don't know. That's my I'm only saying that because
I feel like she's still rehabbing.
Let us know in the chats where she is.
I think it could be Candice, and I think that's why Candice has been introduced into this storyline. And I also think Candice is... for the same reason that you think Dakota Kai, I think Candice fits that archetype and storyline very well as well. I think like her overcoming, and also I think there's another nice layer of it being the mirror of Johnny's underdog story, Not as hard worked as Johnny's, because Candice has had barely any matches and she's won all of her matches because yep. she only ever faces off against Vanessa Bourne. but like in that same breath, like she would have that. There's a story to tell there of like Johnny's had all this success and I've not been allowed to wrestle anyone above this level. Mm-hmm. And I've barely been involved. I've barely had any matches. You've barely booked me because of all this Johnny drama. So now Johnny's not a champion, and probably if he is actually injured, then going to have to go away for a bit, or
yeah.
you know, will he probably bow out for a while?
Absolutely,
it's Candice's time to rise up and reign.
Well, Io certainly is going to be keeping herself in that conversation as well, because she snaps after yes. the match and starts laying Baszler out with the kendo stick. Big old welt on the back of Shayna Baszler. And then she starts yelling at Candice to pass her a chair because she hits the moonsault.
Yeah.
And then she tells Candice to pass her a chair. She's climbed up for a second one. Candice, very unsure about this,
yep.
really know how to react, passes her the chair. And Io Shirai then does a moonsault while holding the chair to Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
Oof, rough old landing. Also as well, that first moonsault, she sure as heck fire stuck that landing. She was like, oh, I am hitting you with this move.
Yeah, I've had enough of loot. She looked, so weirdly, Io looked pretty upset before the match. So I don't know whether there was like finding out as she's going through the curtain that she was like, you're not winning. Mm. And maybe that was meant to be the finish. Like maybe that was meant to be the actual finish. And then it was, I don't know. But she looked a bit like, maybe overwhelmed is more mm-hmm. than upset, but I don't know what was going on here, and I just don't. It's really hard to make head or tail of what the story is meant to be, because now Io has got like, you know, McGuinness was saying she's gone too far. That's not very sportsmanlike. Yeah, it's like, it's why are we positioning Io Shirai as this kind of like she snaps now?
Because
mm-hmm. What does that mean for Baszler?
Yeah. I'll be very interested to see where they're going to go.
Yeah, because are they going to do Baszler's now scared of the deranged Io Shirai, or is it
Kendo stick in a pole match,
or is Shirai Baszler going to be proud that she's broken this woman down to the point of her flipping out like Ciampa was with Gargano?
Mm.
Like it's.
Well, we'll see in a couple of weeks, I suppose. But I am very intrigued to see where the storyline goes. Of all the storylines that finished up on this, the ones I was really intrigued by were Undisputed Era vs. Forgotten Sons mm-hmm. and What Next for Baszler, Shirai, and Candice, very much so.
I just think the finish of this made it feel like... I feel like this was a TV finish for a match, and I would have preferred to have seen... And also something we have seen before. And I just feel like I would have liked the resolution to this kind of coming at this takeover. Because I don't necessarily want to see another Baszler in the title picture feud with Io Shirai until the end. So
they announced NXT TakeOver Cardiff for August 31st, and we saw Stephanie McMahon in the crowd. And then we got our main event of the evening, which my brain is telling me was the best match of the night. It was Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. Cole had a rapper doing his entrance music.
Loved it.
Yep. I mean, I wrote down here, Cole gets a rapper to ruin his entrance music. It's actually quite cool.
It was cool. It was a Josiah Williams from Flow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never heard of him before, but he was actually very cool.
Yeah.
I like how they sort of timed the Adam Cole Bebe thing and the boom and things like that. Really, really cool. I actually very much enjoyed this.
Yeah, there you go. Very
better than Mega Ran then.
Yes, he was. There you go.
Smallpox is better than Mega Ran.
Better than Mega Ran. That's how we're going to put it. Gargano came out as Captain Marvel, overpushed. And Nigel says...
Overpowered. OP!
OP'd. And Nigel was putting over this idea. Now, so going into this match, I knew the finish because I saw it on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But Nigel made a very interesting point at the start that Gargano has never successfully defended a title.
Oh, he's got Sasha Banks. It's called Bad Case of the Sasha Banks.
When he won the tag titles, the very first NXT TakeOver they were defending it, mm-hmm. they lost them to the Authors of Pain.
Yep.
He lost his North American Championship in his first defense to Velveteen Dream. Yep. And now here he is as the NXT Championship. And once again, lost it first time round to Adam Cole.
Mm.
So are we going to be pushing the storyline that, Gargano is... Well, we've already lost...
Johnny Failure again.
We've lost Sasha Banks. She might be not coming back, so we'll just do that storyline with someone else instead.
Yeah.
This was an absolutely... awesome, awesome match. So much back and forth, so much reversal, so much creativity in all of this. And just so much like amazing spots.
I think considering they'd already had a 2 out of 3 falls match that went on for ages and they put everything into, to have come up with something that felt different, using the same, like a very, you know, similar moveset, but just to tell a very different story, was genius.
Yeah, it really was. And you had like Gargano making these like fiery comebacks every time that Cole was on top. I think one of the key points to note about this match, though, was that the crowd were split.
Yeah.
But by the end of the match, I would say at the start of the match, they were mostly into Cole.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100% behind Cole. Gargano was even booed during his his introduction because the crowd wanted to see Cole win. By the middle of the match, there was some like dueling chants for both of them and kind of at the start of the match as well. By the end, this crowd were back to 100% wanting to see Cole win.
Yeah.
When they were doing the yay boo spot,
Cole
as the heel and Gargano was the babyface, Gargano was Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And he was the babyface that was getting booed while Cole the heel was getting cheered.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe it's this crowd that they were in front of, because I don't think this would have happened at Full Sail.
No.
But it was very interesting.
Well, it's the playing along, but Cole is just so popular. Stratospherically popular.
This happened at New York, at TakeOver New York, was that at the start of the match, that crowd were just so, they wanted to see Cole win. They didn't want to see Gargano win. By the end of it, though, Gargano had managed to turn them around, so the crowd massively popped for his win. But this crowd wanted to see Adam Cole win, why they exploded at the end when they did. Really good spot.
I think it's because this felt much closer, actually, than the, I think, the last TakeOver match, Gargano was much more in peril, and through sheer force of fighting spirit and just kicking out of everything, won everyone over.
Yeah.
And I think this, because it felt much more back and forth, people were split, and then they started to fall where their actual feelings lie about just like, I would just like to see Adam Cole with a title. I just would.
And very much they got to see that.
Yeah.
So much stuff. Do you know what this match was? Super kick heavy. Lots of super kicks in this match. It was like every other move was a big old super kick right to the face. Lot of slaps, lot of claps. I like the burning hammer right to the jaw. I love the Ishii-Garoshi stuff on the outside.
That was amazing.
Just absolutely. I've taken so many notes.
So I loved when there was a point where Johnny goes to hit the DIY super kick. And he goes like that. And as he comes in, Cole just super kicks him, knocking him down. Mm. And then Gargano bounces back with his own super kick and then hits a reverse Rana that Cole flops up out of, bounces off the ropes and hits a last shot from.
Yeah.
So cool.
So cool.
Such good sequences.
I have seen some people take issue with that, though, because it was like there was no selling of the Rana by Adam Cole. I've seen some people take some issues with that. I've seen some people take issue as well with the dive that Gargano does into the super kick.
Yeah.
He does a big tope and Cole super kicks him, mainly because Gargano was never going to make him. That dive was going nowhere fast.
Well, that's so you don't eat someone's foot, isn't it?
But for me, some of my spots at the end was when they just started exchanging finishes. So you had Gargano trying to get in the Gargano escape and being unable to, and Adam Cole locking in the Gargano escape, and you've got like Nigel Green like, oh my god, he's going to tap him out with his own move. Then Adam Cole missing the last shot and Johnny Gargano hitting the last shot. I love that very like 2000 era WWF, Austin Rock, Austin Triple H, and Rock Triple H just stealing each other's moves to get like that big pop from the crowd. It's like, oh my god, Rock's just hit the stunner on Austin.
And it plays into the story as well that these two have shared the ring in one of the best NXT matches of all time, and like they know each other well. They've both been in NXT for a long time together, knew each other beforehand. There is just this wealth of information that they know about each other. And Beth Phoenix said it as well, as like, you know, on commentary, which I didn't quite agree with when she said it, and then maybe it turned around by the end of the match. But she was like, these two have enormous respect for each other in the ring. And it's like, actually, do you know what? You're probably right, because he comes down on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Cole was happy to go one-on-one with Johnny Gargano and prove that, you know, he's the better wrestler. He's obviously also a mind game magician from some of the spots in this match.
Oh, yeah.
But like, the point is that they know each other so well that so much of this is counters, and you know, there's that whole section where they didn't hit anything, where they were just fighting on the outside because Johnny was going for the penalty kick on the apron, misses, jumps down, super kick whiff, super kick whiff, super kick whiff, and then he hits the tumbleweed.
Yeah.
And there was just so much of this match where it was just like they're so well scouted for each other.
Absolutely, yeah.
That everything is getting reversed.
And really, this match was built around the Canadian Destroyer as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was Cole teasing the Canadian Destroyer, and which was beautifully set up by Nigel on commentary as well, because Nigel, like any time Cole went to the top rope, he's like, he's going for that Canadian Destroyer, or you know, the whatever he calls it.
Panama Sunrise.
It's a Canadian Destroyer. But he's like, he's going to go for that Canadian Destroyer. And
he jumps at the beginning though. So.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I've always thought that was really silly. But it actually does make it a nice little setup for this match, though, mm-hmm. because he would jump down and then maybe like Gargano would kick him, or he'd jump down and he'd do a different move. And then eventually on the outside, he jumps off the apron and hits the Canadian Destroyer on the outside. And everyone's like, oh my God, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Rolls back in. And the very finish of this was, again, built around the Canadian Destroyer. So it really was set up beautifully throughout the match for that big spot there,
yeah.
which then sets up the finish later on, where he does finally hits the Panama Sunrise, and then hits the last shot for the win. And Adam Cole is your new NXT champion. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really, really incredibly well-told story. Dave Meltzer has said it's the best match in NXT history. He actually thinks it's the best match that WWE have done overall in a long, long time. And I've probably got to agree with him. I thought this was absolutely sensational.
It was an incredible match.
Yeah, 5-star classic, mm-hmm. absolutely. So overall, I thought it was a very, very, very good show, an excellent show.
Yeah.
Loved the opener, loved the tag match, loved the main event. I enjoyed Breeze and Dream, and I enjoyed Io and Baszler less,
mm-hmm.
but those other three matches really elevated this.
They were superlative,
yeah. Absolutely, I think
considering the whole thing to a degree has been thrown together by, you know, having to work around scheduling it, just issues really with mm-hmm. people being stolen or people being injured or whatever the problems were. Amazing to pull that out of the bag.
Yeah, absolutely.
To go like, here's this.
Yeah. Pete Quinnell.
Hello, yes.
What's going on up in the super chats?
Right, well, we've got tons of them.
Okay, well, we've gone very long on this show.
We
so
have,
let's
yes.
try and fire through
them. So we will fire through them as quickly as humanly possible. So we've got... I've lost where I was before. Kevon Brown says, Gargano versus Cole 2 should have had a stipulation.
No, actually, I think that stipulation held the first match back. So I actually was glad this was a straight one-on-one match.
Mm-hmm. I think if they do a rubber match, it might have a stipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed. We have got, it keeps refreshing and taking me to the bottom, so I miss where I am.
I'd also say as well, sorry, worst. On that last point as well, I'd also say that's kind of the story that I've been telling for the 4 weeks as well, which is Cole saying, if that was a straight match, I would have won.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it wouldn't be as powerful a win if he didn't go like, you know, his only thing to cling on to was the fact he won a regular wrestling match.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and now he's won another one. So he also now has two falls, as does Johnny. So yeah. You can just go, fifth fall decides it.
Very true.
Mate.
Mate.
Nicholas Smith comes in and says, greetings from Colombia. Which show will have the bigger audience? All Out, NXT Cardiff, or NJPW's Thing? Will the audience size mean brand supremacy?
Well, All Out will have the most people in seats because they've got the biggest place.
I think All Out will have the most overall anyway. I think it will have the most people buying the pay-per-view, and it will have the most people physically in the venue.
I agree, yeah. I think All Elite will have the most people in the venue, and they'll have most people watching as well.
Yeah.
The Craftsman Blake Carpenter says, good work by Luke and Laurie. Molly Davis is scared of me.
So if you're not familiar, that's because Ollie always gets his name wrong. It's a running joke. He's one of our longest running Patreon backers, and Ollie never gets his name right. It's become a running gag.
That is fantastic. Let's refresh my thing again. Where are we? Oh my God, where have you gone? Oh, Blake, there we go.
Where's Randy?
Kevon Brown. What do you think Cole versus Gargano 3 stipulation will be?
Good question. What could it be?
I think it'll be a straight match.
You think we'd just do another straight match?
I think you would do. I would tell the story of, like, you know, Johnny could argue, okay, well, I won the first one, you won this one, but Cole could say, yeah, but we've got the same number of falls now.
Mm. Yeah,
Cole could say, well, I won the last match, and then Johnny could say, yeah, but we've got the same number of pinfall victories over each other so maybe we should have a decider to see who's actually the best and get Cole by the ego side of things. But I don't know.
Yeah,
and maybe just do it in a cage or something, and just then it's fairly simple. Yeah.
Tommy Peterson says, who should have the first match on the first AEW TV show?
It depends on what their roster is by that point. I would say, if I'm going by the sort of the TNA logic of this, when they went on to Spike, it was put your biggest star in your opening match, which was at that point was Kurt Angle, who's the most recognizable mm-hmm. star. So my mind instantly says put Moxley in the match.
Yep.
But it depends on, though, how the TV show is working. It's all about the wins and losses. It's all about the sort of like league aspect of it. So it's kind of hard to say then what the match should be, particularly when we're so far away from it and we don't know what matches are going to come out from All Out or what's going to happen at Fight for the Fallen and Fighter Fest.
So I think I would open up the show with Cody or the Bucks mm-hmm. as a, you know, this is our thing.
Yeah.
I think just be like that. That should be sort of the, you know, the guys walk out, they address the crowd as their opening segment, and then they go, but we're not just here to make matches, we're here to be in matches.
Yeah.
And then just go straight into an event. Or have Kenny do it, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
We've got William Adams says, Undisputed Era buried Luke's predictions.
Didn't they just? And it looks like they've just... It looks like they just dropped that storyline. Looks like that.
Yeah, that just went away, didn't it?
Yeah, that split storyline they were doing has just been dropped, and they're just all. I think that.
That was some.
I think 4 weeks ago, plans changed.
Yeah.
And I think all the storylines that they were working towards have been dropped. As you've been saying on the TV show, I wonder if it's like all the call ups that have happened have made them change the plans that they had.
Yeah, they've had to complete. I think they've had to completely shift what they were doing, which is, I think, what made that. It's so hard to predict what was going to happen at this takeover, yeah. Especially because it all hinged on the Undisputed Era, who had had such a storyline, thinking, oh, that might, you know, this might happen. And this is the big thing about the Cole finale, is Cole and, like, the whole point of that them splitting up thing was they were saying that, you know, he was blaming Roderick Strong when it wasn't Roddy's fault for, like, these things. And now he's gone and won a match on his own, saying, like, when I was on my own and no one interfered, I won matches and I became the North American champion on my own, blah, 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 blah. Cole is now right. Like, yeah. So I don't...
And Strong lost as well.
Strong lost as well, as did Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. So now they're just patsies for Cole. Yeah.
I think that storyline has just been dropped.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, which messed up my predictions.
Yeah.
Dustin Pilon says... something that just refreshed my page. He says, if Strong were to win the North American title, which I'm hoping for to strengthen the Undisputed Era, what would you think of a Dream and Breeze tag team?
Oh, nice. That's fun. Yeah, that'd be fun. I could be behind that. On that point, we were sort of muttering into the microphones there, but I'm also glad that the Undisputed Era are not splitting up. I'm kind of glad they have dropped that story.
Yeah.
But I'd also be well behind that a Dream Breeze tag team. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I
think they're also, but again, it's one of the things they're better on their own.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a disservice to Breeze to bring him down to NXT and then put him back in the tag team and just go like, yeah, you know, we're just going to stick you with someone vaguely similar.
You have similar gimmicks.
Yeah.
Pete Quinnell.
Hartley Reaper comes in again saying, Laurie, can me and the rest of my team far a Screenstalker shout out for gaming at Hartley Reaper on Instagram?
Can you what?
Yeah. I'm reading it all, how it says it.
Far a
Screenstalker shout out for gaming.
Fart out a Screenstalker.
Fart out a Screenstalker shout out for gaming. I'll look into it.
So I'm assuming Hartley Reaper on Instagram is a gaming thing, probably.
Yeah.
Sure, go check it out. Why not?
Keep up the good work.
We'll have to find that.
We will check it out.
Jeremy Chastain comes in with two donations, no messages, but two donations nonetheless.
Thank you very much.
Core Dream Studios comes back in and said, who would you pick to win in this match if it were to happen? CM Punk, if he joined, versus Hangman Page at a future AEW pay-per-view.
Page. Don't make the TNA mistake of having Angle go over first doors.
Absolutely.
Joe going over would have been a much better choice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
J-Dog Belinsky, no message, but a donation.
Thank you.
Zombie Face Jake says, what happened to AOP? Drake Maverick became their manager and then they just disappeared.
Yeah, well, I think it was Akam got injured and he still is injured, but I think there was a report from Fightful that he's back.
I think he's
cleared again.
Yeah, they're coming back soon,
I think. So I think they'll be back. I wouldn't be surprised if they went to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could do with it
sans
as well.
Sans Drake.
Yeah, sans Drake. Yeah, I think the Drake,
that was,
thing,
the Drake thing was the worst.
So that was stupidly stupid.
Yeah, because they instead tried to turn this one act into a joke by having it coupled with, like, I think Drake Maverick's fantastic, but they want to just always go, isn't he small?
Look, he pissed himself.
Ha 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 ha.
AOP,
but then that devalues the AOP for even letting him near them.
Yeah, I think the AOP needs to distance himself from him simply for that reason. But also, if he's now involved in the 24/7 title, the last thing you need this dominant tag team is to be associated with a comedy belt.
Yeah.
Moving far away from him. Get Paul Ellering back. Pete.
We have got Magnus Bernstrom says, who had the worst ladder match? Finn, Rico, or Kyle O'Reilly? So I'm assuming it's the person who like took the worst bumps. I would guess. Anyway.
I'm going to say Finn in that one. Finn took a heck of a beating in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
Took a heck of a beat.
I don't know. I think Kyle's missing quite a lot of his back, so maybe Kyle.
Well, Kyle, I mean, Bobby Fish had his arm in a sling at the end of it.
Yeah,
so maybe he was the one who took the worst.
True. Probably on that last fall, maybe. Yeah.
Seymour Mendez Jr. says, is that a Team Rocket hat chopper? Respect.
Yes.
Yes, it is. We've got another refresh on the page. I still have to scroll. This is how many we've still got. I still have to scroll to find these next questions. My lady partner Michelle comes in and says, Adam Cole, baby.
Well, it's very, he is Adam Cole, baby. Yeah, prettiest man in NXT.
She likes him the most because he's very attractive.
He's a very pretty man.
Small Afro Games comes in with a donation. No message. But thank
Jaren
you.
Walker, thank you very much. Cheers, Jaren.
Yep. William Tallman says, put over Riddle's new move. Does he hit Lesnar with it tonight?
So yeah, so Riddle said that he's going to be on Raw tonight.
Did he?
Well, but it's Riddle being Riddle.
Mm.
So I mean, Riddle is always
he's telling riddles.
I'm going to retire Brock Lesnar. I'm going to retire Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But I think it's just Riddle just being Riddle.
Yeah, I hope so, though.
Yeah, someone did tweet me over the weekend and said that if Riddle shows up tonight, so Brock's going to try and cash in. Riddle shows up and stops him, and you do Riddle versus Lesnar at Super Showdown for the Money in the Bank contract. Riddle wins that. Instantly, you've got a brand new star in your hands.
Mm.
I wouldn't hate it.
No, that would be the best use of this terrible storyline.
Yeah. On the Bobby Fish thing, I think it was a moment when Bertrand Larkin started targeting his arm because he started shouting, watch it, in terms of his arm.
Okay.
And he was just on the outside screaming in pain.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was from that. Pete?
Next, we have got Start Recording. Comes in twice, so I'll ask both the questions at once. He says, who do you see beating Dream and Baszler? And could you see Breeze becoming the NXT champion?
Probably not NXT champion, no. I certainly see him in that North American championship picture.
I can see Breeze getting a rematch off of the shenanigans towards the end of this match and then winning that.
Yeah.
Most likely. Baszler, we said...
Candace.
You think Dakota Kai.
Well, yeah.
I think Candace.
More likely it's going to be Candace.
Yeah, probably Candace, possibly Io.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on where they go with Io, the Kendo Warrior.
He's Kendo Warrior. Pick one out.
And what about Dream as well? You asked who would be,
Breeze.
I think Breeze will be Dream.
Cool.
Unless Dijakovic comes back.
Yeah, Dijakovic, Paige Keith Lee,
yeah.
Damian Priest.
It's true.
Oh, yeah,
Asaya Fakiri says Kyle O'Reilly versus Dolph Ziggler. The selling in that match would be amazing.
Nah, I'm not interested in seeing that match. Only because I don't really care for Dolph Ziggler. But then again, I would watch anything that Kyle O'Reilly does, so maybe I would be interested.
We have got Start Recording again. Says who comes to your guys' mind when you think of unexpected pushes? Jinder Mahal for me.
Elias.
Oh yeah, Jinder was a yeah.
Yeah, Elias. Yeah, Jinder's a good one. Yeah, Jinder's a great show.
Mm.
It was so surprising. I actually forgot it happened. I was working at WrestleTalk during that point as well. And I genuinely forget sometimes that he was WWE champion.
Yeah, I think Braun's push took me by surprise when he just suddenly rocketed up, and I was like, oh, okay.
Tell you what, other one that surprised me recently was Hawkins and Ryder winning the Raw titles at
WrestleMania. Oh, yeah, for no reason.
No reason. Haven't been on TV for the last 3 weeks.
For God's sake.
Timmy Two Dope says, who needs a new gimmick and what would you give to them?
Timmy Two Dope. I'm assuming that's a reference to Shaggy Two Dope from the Insane Clown Posse. At least I hope it is.
Hope so.
Yeah, I hope
that'd
it
be
is.
Cool.
Who needs a new gimmick?
And what would you give to them?
Oh, that's a lot. That's I don't know. I don't really know if anyone needs a gimmick change at the moment.
No way, Jose.
What gimmick would you give him?
I'll just give him back his old hair. His new hair is terrible.
That's a question I'd need more time to think about. Mm. And we're trying to rush through some of these questions, I'm afraid. So yeah. I don't know on that one, but No Way Jose is a good answer.
Thoughts on Beth on commentary? I'm not a fan. That's from JobberJJ496.
She fills the Percy Watson role. I didn't even recognise she was there.
I don't like Beth Phoenix on commentary particularly. Well, I think Percy Watson had the correct level of... Beth wasn't so bad actually on TakeOver, but I think on NXT TV, she talks too much for like a third person commentator. So like to the point where she's almost... taking up a lot of the, like, Mara's trying to call play-by-play and Nigel's meant to be chipping in, but Beth is now doing the chipping in. So now Nigel feels pushed into the Percy Watson role.
Mm.
And I think Percy always came in with very smart things to say at the right time, whereas Beth is sometimes just going, they look like they'd be friends.
They often defer to Beth as well because she's a former champion.
Yeah.
So they were asking her a lot of questions about what's it like to defend
the
championship.
Which is the right thing to do with her. But I think it's some of her just general what are like general chatter or her general patter that doesn't work for me. Like she's always sort of searching for a point to make without really knowing where it is.
It's like me doing this show.
It's like me doing this.
I would say as well that she's always going to struggle as well because the NXT commentary, Mauro and Nigel work so well together.
Yeah.
You're always going to be the third wheel, no matter what you do.
Well, it's because it really is a motorbike.
Yeah.
And they didn't need a third wheel.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
We've got one from Keith Fries. I'm not sure what this is in reference to, but it might be them saying that NXT is a true alternative brand. He just said, reminiscent of WCW saying NWO was the second best Fed.
Yeah, that was my favourite of Bischoff-isms. I thought the NWO was the second biggest company in the Monday Night Wars. Idiot. What an idiot. Classic, classic idiot.
We've got an interesting one from Initiative Coffee. It says, any chance the WrestleTalk team would be interested in playing D&D on our stream for charity?
Yep. I'd be interested in that, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Email someone?
Email Ollie.
Email...
No, don't email Ollie. He'll never answer
Ollie.
Email Pete, because I'm not going to be here, so email
Yeah,
Pete.
Sure. Email me, which is pete@wrestletalk.com. Yeah. Email me and we'll figure something out if we can.
We love D&D.
We do.
We do love a bit of D&D. Start recording comes in again, saying, I want Eric Bugenhagen to beat Velveteen Dream.
Oh, yeah. Bugenhagen's a good shout.
That'd be fun. Flint Mech.
Gimmick heavy triple threat with them if you could put Breeze in it as well.
Yeah.
Dream, Breeze, Bugenhagen.
Oh, mate, that's a dream triple
and
threat.
Ego
right there.
Off. Yeah.
It's the main event of WrestleMania 20 all over again.
Flint Mech says Io, Candice, and Mia versus three horsewomen blow off feud.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
But it's only on TV.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, all in capitals. Says, I got every prediction right. People have been congratulating me in the comment section of the prediction video. Only problem is that I was halfway through the show. So basically what you're saying is, you cheated.
Oh, the Randy Datsun tactic.
Exactly.
Classic Datsun move.
Tim Arndt comes in again. He says, which match was better? Gargano versus Cole 1 or 2? Also, Captain Sonar is a fantastic game.
Captain Sonar is
Captain
amazing.
Captain Sonar was so fun.
Such fun.
Such
amazing. It was great.
Great game. I'm going with 2.
2, definitely 2.
2 for me.
Mm-hmm. We've got Kurt Paulson says Iron Man for Gargano and Cole for Toronto. Oh, Iron Man for Gargano and Cole for Toronto. In Iron Man.
That's actually a very good shout doing an Iron Man. I don't know if they do a 60 minutes. But it is a Triple H thing, though. It's a Triple H show. He would love to do it. He would love to promote an Iron Man match, a one hour Iron Man match.
Yeah.
That seems like a very Triple H thing to do.
I think it's a good idea as well to just be like, look, maybe we need a time limit rather than a falls limit.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a really good shout. It's a great show, actually.
Right, we've got 6 more to get through.
Okay.
So, almost getting there. Jobber JJ comes in again. You've already kind of talked about this, but he says, Gargano has 2 pinfalls on Cole. Cole has 2 pinfalls on Gargano. 1 win apiece. Are we heading for a third match between them?
Absolutely. I'd take over Toronto. I can certainly see Gargano. Yeah. You said that on the prediction show when it was advertised as Cole Gargano 2.
Yeah.
You're like, that's definitely
there's definitely
a
third. Yeah.
Yep. And then we've got Skeletor 10594 says, I love
you. Do it in a Skeletor voice.
No. I love you both. Luke's okay too. Datsun merch?
Absolutely not. There will never be any Randy Datsun merch because he's a buffoon, Skeletor.
Why is Skeletor saying his own name?
Well, I was answering that Skeletor.
Oh, okay.
There's 2 Skeletors. Yeah.
I should have really answered it as Beast Man.
Seymour Mendes Jr. says, at this point, there will never be a bad takeover.
Yeah, but we've been saying that for a while. That's like the bottom rating when we do the 10-minute reviews. Is just like, we'll never get this.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
But it's pointless having anything below 4, really.
Well, they worked out the formula, and I think that's the thing.
5 matches.
Yeah, the formula is 5 matches, build to it properly, have your top talent in all those matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it would be a completely different kettle of fish if Vanessa Bourne was on a takeover, but like, she's not, so we don't have to worry about that.
Tesco's finest in the main event.
Yeah.
Cole versus Gargano, loser goes to the main roster.
The ultimate sacrifice. That's it. You'd be like, no. Just do my career.
It's a stipulation I don't want to stick to.
Yeah.
Sorry, I should say that was from Matt Chapman, the last one.
Thanks, Matt.
I'd get disqualified in that match.
Dysentery Joe says this live stream has died of dysentery. Support WrestleTalk.
Well, thank you.
Sure, is that a West of Loathing reference?
And then we just got one more at the end as well. So we got A Reality 40 just comes in with a donation, no message.
Thank you very much.
And then last one, Skeletor, once again, just all in capitals, give me more Datsun merch.
Absolutely not.
Never. Not a chance.
Not a chance, no.
And that's
you can't have more of none.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.